Plate.com. Make affordable crowd-pleasing meals at home. Choose from 14 delicious and affordable recipes that change every week. Everything you need is shipped to your door. Home-cooked deliciousness, nearly in 30 minutes. Save time and skip tedious trips to the grocery store. Save money and enjoy tasty dinners that won't break the bank at only $4.99 per serving. Easy-to-cook recipes that only six simple steps and will turn you into a chef. And you can skip or cancel anytime. Some of the meals are sweet chili chicken, super smash burgers, balsamic glazed pork chops, Tuscan pork meatballs, crispy blue chicken, cheese chicken, chicken sausage meatball soup, sausage chicken and pepper stir fry, garlic and white sauce, flatbreads, caramelized onion meatloaf, loaded baked potato chowder, creamy chicken sausage penne and black bean and pepper, jack tostadas, chili garlic soup, crispy chickpea couscous, 6 chicken breasts, ground beef, and 4 chicken breasts. Just select this recipe after signing up. Recommended by 9,000 families. Break the cycle of boring. Good morning. I'll start a new series titled U.S. Presidential Elections. The first is the United States Presidential Elections Part 1. The election of the President and the Vice President of the United States is an indirect election in which citizens of the United States who are registered to vote in one of the 50 U.S. states or Washington, D.C., cast ballots not directly for those offices, but instead for members of the Electoral College. These electors then cast direct votes, known as electoral votes, for President and Vice President. The candidates who receive an absolute majority of electoral votes, at least 270 out of 538 since the 23rd Amendment gained voting rights to citizens of D.C. is then elected to that office. If no candidate receives an absolute majority of the votes for president, the House of Representatives elects the president. Likewise, if no one receives an absolute majority of the votes for vice president, then the Senate elects the vice president. In contrast to the presidential election, and if many republics around the world operating under either the presidential system or the semi-presidential system, which use direct elections for the national popular vote. One person, one vote of their entire countries to elect their respective president. The United States uses indirect elections through the Electoral College to elect the president and vice president. Almost all states mandate the winner of the plurality of a constituent statewide popular vote. One person, one vote shall receive all of that state's electors, winner takes all instances such as the presidential elections of 1824, 1876, 1888, 2000, and 2006 that produced an electoral college winner who did not receive the most votes in the general election. These were presidential elections in which the winner lost a popular vote due to the outsized effects of close and narrow pluralities in numerous swing states. Electoral college as procedure are established in the U.S. Constitution by Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 and 4, and the 12th Amendment, which replaced Clause 3 and its ratification in 1804. Under Clause 2, each state casts as many electoral votes as the total number of its senators and representatives in Congress, while per the 33rd Amendment ratified in 1961, Washington, D.C. casts the same number of electoral votes as the least represented state, which is 3. Also under Clause 2, the manner for choosing electors is determined by each state legislature, not directly by the federal government. Many state legislatures previously selected their electors directly, but over time all switched to using the popular vote to choose electors. Once chosen, electors generally cast their electoral votes for the candidate who won the plurality in their state, but 18 states do not have provisions that specifically address this behavior. Those who vote in opposition to the plurality are known as faithless or unpledged electors in modern times. Faithless and unpledged electors have not affected the outcome of an election, so the results can generally be determined based on the state by the state popular vote. In addition, most of the time, the winner of a U.S. presidential election also wins a national popular vote. There were 4 exceptions since all states had the electoral system we know today. They happened in 1876, 1888, 2000, and 2016, were all losses of 3 percentage points or less. Presidential elections occur every 4 years on Election Day, which since 1845 has been the first Tuesday after November 1st. This date coincides with the general elections of various other federal, state, and local races, since local governments are responsible for managing elections. These races typically all appear on one ballot. The Electoral College electors are then formally cast their electoral votes on the first Monday after December 12th at the state's capital. Congress then certifies their results in early January, and the presidential term begins on Inauguration Day, since the passage of the 12th Amendment has been set at January 20th. The nomination process, consisting of the primary elections and caucuses and the nominating of conventions, were not specified in the Constitution but was developed over time by the states and political parties. These primary elections are generally held between January and June before the general election in November, while the nominating conventions are held in the summer, though not codified by law. Political parties are also follow an indirect election process where voters in the 50 states, Washington, D.C., and U.S. territories cast ballots for a state or slated delegates to a political party's nominated convention, who then elect their party's presidential nominee. Each party may then choose a vice presidential running mate to join the ticket, which is either determined by the choice of the nominee or by a second round of voting. Because of the changes to national campaign finance laws since the 1970s regarding disclosure of contributions for federal campaigns, presidential candidates from the major political parties usually declare their intentions to run as early as the spring of the previous calendar year before the election, almost 21 months before Inauguration Day. History, Electoral College. Article 2 of the Constitution originally established the method of presidential elections, including the creation of the Electoral College, the result of a compromise between those constitutional framers who wanted Congress to choose the president and those who preferred a national popular vote. As set forth in Article 2, each state allocated a number of electors equal to the number of delegates in both houses of Congress combined. In 1961, the ratification of the 23rd Amendment granted several electors to the District of Columbia in an amount equal to the number of electors allocated to the least populous state. However, U.S. territories are not allowed allocated electors and therefore are not represented in the Electoral College. State legislatures. Constitutionally, the legislature of each state determines how its electors are chosen. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 states that each state shall appoint electors in such a manner as the legislature thereof may direct. During the first presidential election in 1789, only 611 eligible states chose electors by any form of popular vote. Gradually throughout the years, the states began conducting popular elections to choose their slate of electors. In 1800, only 5 of the 16 states chose electors by popular vote. By 1824, after the rise of Jacksonian democracy, the proportion of states that chose electors by popular vote had sharply risen to 18 out of 24 states. The gradual movement toward greater democratization coincided with a gradual decrease in property restrictions for the franchise. By 1840, only one of the 26 states, South Carolina, still elected electors by the state legislature. Vice Presidents. Under the original system established by Article 2, electors cast votes for two candidates for the president. The candidate with the highest number of votes, provided it was a majority by the electoral votes, became the president, and the second place candidate became the vice president. This presented a problem during the presidential election of 1800, when Aaron Burr received the same number of electoral votes as Thomas Jefferson and challenged Jefferson's election to the office. In the end, Jefferson was chosen as the president because of Alexander Hamilton's influence in the House. In response to the 1800 election, the 25th Amendment was passed, requiring electors to cast two distinct votes, one for president and another for vice president. While this solved the problem at hand, it reduced the prestige of the vice presidency, as the office was no longer held by the leading challenger for the presidency. The separate ballots for president and vice president became something of a moot issue later in the 19th century, but became the norm for popular elections to determine a state's electoral college delegation. Electors chosen this way are pledged to vote for a particular presidential and vice presidential candidate offered by the same political party. Although the president and vice president are legally elected separately, in practice they are chosen together. The votes. The 12th Amendment also established rules when no candidate wins a majority vote in the Electoral College. In the presidential election of 1824, Andrew Jackson received a plurality but not a majority of electoral votes cast. The election was thrown to the House and John Quincy Adams was elected president. A deep fight resulted between Andrew Jackson and House Speaker Henry Clay, who had also been a candidate in the election. Since the vice presidential candidate, John Calhoun, received a majority of the votes, having been on both Jackson and Adams' tickets, so there was no need for the Senate to vote for the vice president. Popular vote. Since 1824, aside from the occasional faithless elector, the popular vote indirectly determines the winner of a presidential candidate by determining their electoral vote, as each state or district's popular vote determines its electoral college vote. Although the nationwide popular vote does not directly determine the winner of a presidential election, it does strongly correlate with one with who is the victor of the 54 of the 59 total elections held so far, about 91%. The winner of the national popular vote has also carried the electoral college vote. The winners of the nationwide popular vote and electoral college vote have differed only in close elections. In highly competitive elections, candidates focus on turning out their vote on the contested swing states critical to winning an electoral college majority, so they do not try to maximize their popular vote by real or fraudulent vote increases in one party areas. However, candidates have failed to get the votes in the nationwide popular vote in the presidential election and still won. In the 1824 election, Jackson won the popular vote, but no one received the majority of electoral votes. According to the 12th Amendment, the House must choose a president out of the top three people in the election. Clay had come in fourth, so he threw his support to Adams. So who then won? Because Adams later named Clay his Secretary of State, Jackson supporters claimed that Adams gained the presidency by making a deal with Clay. Charges of a corrupt bargain followed Adams through his term. Republican, Democrat, all other candidates together. In five presidential elections, 1824, 1876, 1888, 2000, and 2016, the winner of the electoral vote lost the popular vote outright. Numerous constitutional amendments have been submitted seeking to replace the electoral college with a direct popular vote, but none has ever successfully passed both houses of Congress. Another alternate proposal is the National Popular Vote into Interstate Compact, an interstate compact whereby individual participating states agree to allocate their electives based on the winner of the national popular vote instead of just their respective statewide results. Election dates. The presidential election day was established on a Tuesday in November because of the factors involved, weather, harvest, and worship. When voters used to travel to the polls by horse, Tuesday was an ideal day because it allowed people to worship on Sunday, ride to their county seat on Monday, and vote on Tuesday, all before market day. Wednesday, November, also fits nicely between the harvest time and harsh winter weather, which could be especially bad for people traveling by horse and buggy. Electoral Count of Act of 1887. Congress passed the Electoral Count Act of 1887 in response to the disputed 1886 election, in which several states submitted competing slates of electors. The law established procedures for the counting of electoral votes. It has subsequently been codified into the Title III of the United States Code. It also includes a safe harbor deadline where states must finally resolve any controversy over the selection of their electors. Inauguration Day. Until 1937, presidents were not sworn in until March 4th because it took so long to count and report ballots and because of the winter's logistical houses in moving to the Capitol. With improvements in transportation and passage of the 20th Amendment, presidential inauguration moved forward to noon on January 20th, thereby allowing presidents to start their duties sooner. Campaign spending. The Federal Election Campaign Act of 1971 was enacted and increased the disclosure of contributions for federal campaigns. Subsequent amendments to law require that candidates to a federal office must file a statement of candidacy with the Federal Election Commission before they can receive contributions for aggregating in excess of $5,000 or make expenditures aggregating in excess of $5,000. Thus, this began a trend of presidential candidates declaring their intentions to run as early as the spring of the preceding calendar year so they could start raising and spending the money needed for the nationwide campaign. Political parties. The first president, George Washington, was elected as an independent since the election of his successor, John Adams, in 1796. All winners of the U.S. presidential elections have represented one of the two major parties. Third parties have taken second place only twice, in 1860 and 1912. The last time a third independent candidate achieved success, although still finishing in third place, was Ross Perot in 1992. And the last time a third party candidate received any electoral votes not from faceless electors was George Wallace in 1968. Procedure eligibility requirements. Article 2 of the Constitution stipulates that for a person to serve as president, the individual must be a natural-born citizen of the United States, at least 35 years old, and a resident of the United States for no less than 14 years. A candidate may start running their campaign early before turning 35 years old or completing 14 years of residency, but must meet the age of president required by Inauguration Day. The 22nd Amendment of the Constitution also says a term limit. A president cannot be elected to more than two terms. The U.S. Constitution also has two provisions that apply to all federal officers appointed by the president, and debatedly also to the presidency. When Senator Barack Obama was elected president, a legal debate concluded that the president was not in office under the United States for many reasons, but most severely because Article 1, Section 3, Clause 7 would violate the legal principle of surplus age if the president were also a civilian officer. There exists no case law to resolve the debate. However, public opinion seems to favor that the presidency is also bound by the following qualifications. Upon conviction and impeachment, the Senate may vote to disqualify that person from holding any public office under the United States in the future. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment prohibits the election to any federal office of any person who engages in insurrection after having held in any federal or state office, rebellion, or treason. This disqualification can be waived if such an individual gains the consent of two-thirds of both houses of Congress. In addition, the 12th Amendment establishes that the Vice President must meet all the qualifications of being a president. Although not a mandatory requirement, federal campaign finance laws, including the Federal Election Campaign Act, state that a candidate who intends to receive contributions aggregating more than $5,000 or make a contribution aggregating more than $5,000 among others must first file a statement of candidacy with the Federal Election Commission. This has led the president's candidates to petition members from the two major political parties to officially announce their intentions to run as early as the spring of the previous calendar year so they can start raising or spending the money needed from their nationwide campaign. Potential candidates usually form exploratory committees even earlier to determine the feasibility of them running. Decentralized election system and voter eligibility. The U.S. presidential election vote, like all other elections in the United States, is a highly decentralized system. While the U.S. Constitution does set parameters for the election of the president and other federal officials, state law, not federal regulates most aspects of the elections in the U.S., including the primaries, the eligibility of voters beyond the basic constitutional definition, and the specific details of running each state's electoral college, meaning all elections, including federal, are administered by the individual states. Thus, the presidential election is an amalgamation of separate state elections instead of a single nationwide election run by the federal government. Candidates must submit separate ballots in each of the 50 states if they want to qualify on each state's ballot, and the voting by filling vary by state. The eligibility of an individual voting is set up in the Constitution and regulated at state level. The 15th, 19th, and 27th Amendments to the Constitution state that suffrage cannot be denied on grounds of race or color, sex, or age for citizens 18 years or older. Respectively, beyond these qualifications, it is the responsibility of state legislatures to regulate voter eligibility and state and registration. And the specific requirements for voter eligibility and registration also carried by state, e.g., some states ban convicted felons from voting. Nominating process. The modern nominating process of a U.S. presidential election consists of two major parts: a series of presidential primary elections and caucuses held in each state, and the presidential nominating conventions held by each political party. This process was never included in the Constitution, thus evolved by the political parties to clear the field of candidates. primary elections are run by state and local governments, while the caucuses are organized directly by the political parties. Some states hold only primary elections, some hold only caucuses, and others use a combination of both. These primaries and caucuses are staggered generally between January and June before the federal election, with Iowa and New Hampshire traditionally holding its first presidential state caucus primary, respectively. Like the general election, presidential caucuses are primaries are indirect elections. The major political parties officially vote for their presidential candidate at their respective nominating conventions, usually all held in the summer before the federal election, depending on each state's law and state's political party rules. When voters cast ballots for a candidate in the presidential caucus or primary, they may be voting to award delegates bound to vote for a candidate at the presidential nominating conventions, or they may simply be expressing an opinion that the state party is not bound to follow in selecting delegates to their respective national convention. Unlike the general election, voters in the U.S. territories can also elect delegates to the national conventions. Furthermore, each political party can determine how many delegates to allocate each to each state and territory. In 2012, for example, the Democratic and Republican Party conventions each used two different formats to allocate delegates. The Democrats based theirs on two major factors: the proportion of votes each state gave to the Democratic candidate in the previous three presidential elections, and the number of electoral votes each state had in electoral college. In contrast, the Republicans assigned to each state 10 delegates plus 3 delegates per congressional district. Both parties then gave a fixed number of delegates to each territory, and finally bonus delegates to states and territories that passed certain criteria. Along with delegates chosen during primaries and caucus, state and U.S. territory delegations to both the Democratic and Republican Party conventions also include unpledged delegates who have a vote. For Republicans, they consist of three top party officials from each state and territory. Democrats have a more expensive group of unpledged delegates called superdelegates, who are party leaders and elected officials. Each party's presidential candidate also chooses a vice presidential nominee to run with him or her on the same ticket, and this choice is rubber stamped by the convention. If no single candidate has secured a majority of delegates, including both pledged and unpledged, then a broker convention results. All pledged delegates are then released and can switch their allegiance to a different candidate. Thereafter, the nomination is decided through a process of alternating political horse trading and additional rounds of re-votes. The conventions have historically been held inside convention centers, but since the late 20th century, both the Democratic and Republican parties have favored sports arenas and domed stadiums to accommodate the increasing attendance. Thank you for listening to this first part on U.S. presidential elections. Have a good week and stay safe.